From Storyflow, this is your daily audio brief. Hi, it's Chloe. August 4th, 10 in health. The one that made me reread the abstract is at the top. Let's get into it. First, from the Forbidden Files. The art of training your body. One cannot remake themselves without suffering, for they are both the marble and the sculptor. Most people live in their minds. Very few ever learn to live in their bodies. Think about your average day. You think, you scroll, you worry about things that haven't even happened yet. You work, you consume. That all happens in this tiny control room sitting behind your eyes, while the rest of you just gets hauled around like luggage. The modern world has made us disconnected from our bodies almost silently. Next. Second, from Monga Bay. How Borneo's giant trees defy gravity and old scientific theories. So I was reading about this study on giant tropical trees in Borneo, and it turns out they're way more resilient to drought than we thought. Researchers looked at 38 trees of different species, ranging from 23 to 233 feet tall, and found that they pump water to their highest branches just as easily as to their lower branches. This challenges the old idea that taller trees are more vulnerable to drought because of gravity and the longer paths water has to travel. It seems that these trees have two main strategies to deal with their height. First, they grow wider water-carrying vessels at the base of the trunk, which reduces resistance to water flow. Second, the leaves at the top of the canopy adjust their water-holding ability, allowing them to store more water even in dry conditions. This is a pretty cool adaptation, and it's helping us understand how these incredible trees are able to thrive in their environment. Up next, third, from Monga Bay. Kenyans protesting nuclear facility face terrorism investigation. So there was a public meeting in a town in Kenya about a proposed nuclear power plant, and it didn't go well. The government is planning to build a big plant near Lake Victoria, and the local residents are really opposed to it. When the officials showed up to talk about the project, the landowners started shouting and protesting, and things escalated quickly. One of the police officers fired a gun and hit someone in the leg, and then the meeting just fell apart. The police used tear gas, and the residents threw stones at them. After that, 17 people were arrested and are now being investigated for assault and even terrorism charges. A lawyer who's defending them says the terrorism charges are totally unrelated to what actually happened and that it's just the government trying to crack down on people who are opposed to the project. The lawyer thinks the government is trying to intimidate the community into accepting the plant, but he's telling them to stand firm and keep fighting against it. It's worth noting that the proposed plant is a big deal. It would be a 2,000 megawatt facility, which is a significant amount of power. But the local residents are clearly really concerned about the potential impacts on their community and the environment, and they're not going to give up without a fight. The situation is still unfolding, but it's already getting pretty heated. And then, fourth, from Monga Bay. New conservation deed aims to protect tree kangaroos, forests, people in Papua New Guinea. In Papua New Guinea, a group called the Tenkyle Conservation Alliance, TCA, just finalised a deal to protect the forests of the Torricelli Mountains. This agreement, known as a conservation deed, was signed by 286 clan leaders from 41 villages. It's the result of decades of work by TCA and the local community to prevent logging and help wildlife thrive. The Torricellis are home to a huge variety of species, including two critically endangered tree kangaroo species. The agreement is a big deal because it protects a relatively small but incredibly biodiverse area of forest, about 4% of the world's biodiversity. The local community is celebrating, and it's an exciting time for conservation efforts in the region. Next, fifth, from New Atlas. Chinese luxury SUV transforms into a camper at push of a button. So there's this new luxury SUV from China that can actually transform into a camper with just the push of a button. This is pretty interesting, especially since it's an electric vehicle. The details are still coming out, but it seems like this SUV is part of a bigger effort from China to make a splash in the off-road auto market. I don't have all the specifics on how the transformation works, but the idea is that it can switch from a regular SUV to a camper, which is perfect for outdoor enthusiasts. It's also worth noting that this SUV is electric, which could be a game changer for people who love camping and want a more environmentally friendly option. The news about this SUV started circulating after a Huawei executive posted a cryptic message on social media. And now it seems like this vehicle is going to be a part of a new lineup of electric cars from China. I'm not sure how this will compare to other off-road SUVs on the market, but it's definitely an innovative idea. It'll be interesting to see how this SUV performs and whether it'll be popular among outdoor enthusiasts. For now, it's just a cool concept that could potentially change the way we think about camping and off-road adventures. Up next, sixth, from Monga Bay. Four Pacific nations are planning one of the world's largest ocean corridors. Hey, so four Pacific nations, Papua New Guinea, Vanuatu, Fiji, and now the Solomon Islands, are sketching out what could become one of the biggest marine reserve networks on the planet. They're calling it the Melanesian Ocean Corridor of Reserves, and the idea is to link huge no-take zones across their exclusive economic zones, eventually spilling into the high seas. The three original countries announced their plans in May, with PNG earmarking a 214,000 kilopoetor sanctuary around Western Manus, about the size of Great Britain, and Vanuatu setting aside 71,000 kilometer quays around Toba province. Fiji has pledged to have 15% of its waters protected by the end of 2026, and the Solomon Islands just joined the effort. By stitching these protected areas together, the corridor would safeguard migration routes, spawning grounds, and larval pathways for coral, sharks, rays, dugongs, and whales. A unified set of rules could also make it tougher for industrial fishing fleets to crowd the edges of individual reserves. Details are still thin. No public maps, governance structures, enforcement plans, or funding sources have been released yet. So the real impact will depend on how those gaps get filled. But the basic premise is clear. A massive, collaborative marine sanctuary across one of the world's most biodiverse ocean regions. And then... Seventh, from Science Alert. You're not imagining it. Some people really are more attractive to mosquitoes. Study shows. The study was a single-site experiment with 119 volunteers in Miami, using an olfactometer tube to let three mosquito species sniff each person's arm. Researchers measured the volatile compounds released from the skin and catalogued the bacterial communities present. Aedes aegypti showed a modest preference for male participants, while Aedes albopictus and Culex quinquefasciatus didn't show clear sex differences. Each species tended to favour different individuals rather than a universal, most attractive group. Analysis of the skin chemistry revealed that two species were drawn to people with low levels of certain unattractive volatiles, whereas A. albopictus responded to specific attractive odours. Across all three mosquitoes, three bacterial taxa, Kutz-Kefir residentii, Q. granulosum and Staphylococcus epidermidis, were consistently linked to higher attraction. The findings suggest that both odour compounds and skin microbes influence how mosquitoes target us, opening modest possibilities for tailored repellents or microbiome tweaks in the future. Next. Eighth, from Deconstructionology with Jim Palmer. Beyond meaning. Conversations in Existential Health is an ongoing series exploring the lives and ideas of influential thinkers whose work illuminates the emerging field of existential health. Rather than offering biographies or historical surveys, these essays place significant voices into conversation with contemporary questions of meaning, identity, freedom, mortality, belonging, purpose, and the developmental capacities required to flourish in an increasingly complex world. Some of these thinkers anticipated themes that have become central to existential health decades or even centuries ago. Up next, 9th from Gideon M.K., Health Nerd. How many workouts should you do a week to lose fat? Fitness hacks are one of the most popular things around. We all want to be fit, but getting fit is such a chore. It would be lovely if there was some way to avoid spending hours every week slowly building muscle and doing cardio at the gym. And according to recent news, there's a really simple way to cut down on your time at the gym and still see those gains. A new study has shown that one workout a week can be as good for losing fat as three, which is great news for anyone who wants to get stronger but just doesn't have the time. Of course, the reality is nowhere near as simple as that. And then, 10th, from Rupert Spearer, The Transparency of Things. You are free, whole, and at peace. Just as the space in which you are currently sitting is already the vast space of the universe, apparently limited by the four walls within which it seems to be contained, so you are the one infinite, indivisible being, temporarily clothed in experience, and seeming as such to be a temporary, finite self. But just as the vast space of the universe never really becomes the temporary space of your room, so you never actually become a temporary, finite self. That's the read, small inputs compounding results. Back tomorrow. If this saved you time, the full feed is free at storyflow.com.